Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, orange men, yellow Britons, you name it. He has over 50 years of experience. We've been saying 40, but I think we're coming in on 50 years of experience now with these subjects and more. So let's bring in the man with a plan. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. It's nice to hear both of you in such fine fettle. I guess every 6 months you put another 10 years on my experience.
That's right. It just adds it up.
When we get to 100, ring the bell. Anyhow, folks, good morning to you all. Good to hear you and your voice and your happiness. And I'm certain I won't do much to alleviate that.
Good.
I'd like to improve it if possible. But let's get the market out of the way first. We've been mentioning of late to get into a more conservative stance, namely less money in stocks versus your overall investment. And we've seen the market have a couple of crashes here in the last couple of weeks. We're probably more bearish now than we were 3 weeks ago. And so I suggest you continue to look at your stock portfolio and look at it from a risk perspective. Firstly, how much of your investable assets are in stocks? And obviously in other instruments, we presume for the sake of argument, in some kind of short-term fixed-yielding instrument. That said, if you are at 90-10, as one of my clients was recently, a young chap, I brought him down to 70-30, and probably will want to bring them down further. I can't give you a general guideline. It would not be prudent of me because I don't know who you are, what your stances are, your taxes, and God knows whatever else. But I can tell you, you should protect yourself more vis-a-vis your own risk tolerance. And one way to look at it is if you look at your stock side portfolio, and let's say you're at 100, and you just interpolate that, what happens if I have a 20% loss? Look at that and then say, wow, things are kind of gloomy and difficult and strange. I don't want that. I'd rather go down to 80 or 70% of stocks. If the market does come off like that, and I'm not saying it is, then I sustain less loss. But the key to investing in markets like this is that you always have X amount of gunpowder. So when the market really gets killed, you can step in and buy some investment quality stocks. Now, you can do that much more readily when you have cash, when you've taken some money off the table, when you've created some profits. However, if you have a very high ratio stocks to bonds, when the market gets killed, you probably won't have the stomach to buy any more. So what I'm saying, it's a caution. Do your homework. Pay attention. My strategy was born of two things. I do believe we're headed into a recession if we're not there already. Secondly, the person leading the country doesn't know what he's doing, and he's driving the world economy into a recession. And lastly, I think we're at great risk for some real negative happening on the not only the economic front, but possibly the military front. I don't want to spend a lot of time on something you're probably bored with and upset with, but you have to, no matter who you voted for, understand that there's something a little awry, to be sarcastic, with a man leading a country who lies consistently about some of the most mundane things. And then again, about some very important things, like relationships with the country he's trying to bring his way in terms of trade. I'd say Trump is probably a bigger risk to this market than anything else. If we go into a recession, recessions are not new things, okay? We haven't had one for 10 years. The point is, though, you want to have a country that has the ability to come back from it. Somebody who is BSing his way in office, promising things, lying about things, will not have the wherewithal to lead us back from a severe decline in the economy. So pencil that into your equation, your investment equation. And I'll end this particular note on one somewhat investment political point. I can't think of the man's name. He's a very distinguished fellow. He's one of these international type experts, or soft-spoken. And he said, you know, looking at the G7, the Europeans say, okay, fine. Trump, we understand him now. We're dealing with him. So that's fine. However, if the American people vote for him again, it's not Trump. It's the American people we're concerned with. Please keep that in mind. We have always been a leader in the world. We've always benefited from leading other countries by great economic situations and support, like during 9/11, the only time NATO was called into service. So no matter who you voted for, one, look at your pocketbook, but two, we're being disrespected. We're being pushed back because of our own behavior. Okay, that said, I'd like to move very quickly into three topics. I just want to brush on them as topics, and then we'll come back to them. In my humble opinion, the main thing to look for in a new president would be someone who will lead us in taking on the climate challenge that the world has. The world has. Whether you believe in it or not, you have to be conservative and say, something's awry. Maybe I don't know about it. Maybe I need to learn more about it. So that would be my first priority for a candidate. The second one would be gun control. Firstly, if you take care of the the climate over a period of 20, 30 years, well, we'll still be living maybe somewhat healthy lives. Secondly, if you don't take care of gun control, then more people will die, young, old. And more importantly, the fear that has been generated by the things, terrible things going on with guns and white supremacy and racism, this is not the way to live life, folks. It's just not the way to live life. And the third thing is healthcare. And I'm very much an advocate of let's just keep what we have and improve on it. Let's not get silly and try and spend more money on something that's working, not perfectly. I'm talking about the current health plan we have. So there we go. That's where I am right now.
You know, I've got two things that I want to add here. First of all, I don't understand the media, and I don't understand even the media on TV. That's MSNBC's, CNBC, and Fox News Network. I went to them the other day when the stock market fell, and then I went to them yesterday afternoon for a little bit after Donald Trump tweeted that it's back on again with the Chinese, and there's a game being played with the numbers of the stock market to the public that is a dangerous game to play. John Stewart pointed out something similar this years ago, but You cannot keep reporting as and not relay what Donald Trump and the administration does to affect the stock market, what other politicians might do or other business people might do to affect the stock market, and today's social media, and Donald Trump has learned how to use social media to try to control things that are fake. Because, Jim, we all know the stock market's important, but is it important for people, 99% of the people who vote, do they really understand the importance, or do they just see numbers? You know, someone once said to me, most people in this country look at the stock market like a sports score.
They do. And that was Roger Ailes, who we can thank very much for creating
the whole thing, starting with going back. And so now, Democrats and Republicans all go to it when the stock market either goes up or goes down. So that has kind of frustrated me over the years because it takes away from the real experts, like you just said, Jim, and like people on the Bloomberg Network. They weren't necessarily talking about the amount of rise and fall. They were talking about what you just said. So a lot of people on Bloomberg, it looks like we're not headed to a recession. We're in a recession. They started talking about recessions and what recessions are. I know that goes over the head of a lot of people, but more of the networks should do that.
Well, what the networks are doing instead, unfortunately. But again, there's no context. This is a perfect example. Is anyone going to be surprised in October when Brexit happens and Britain doesn't crash out, but in fact there's a deal and everyone goes on with their lives? I mean, because they shouldn't be. And the problem with doing life in that microcosm of where that number is at that moment is that it gives you, it focuses you in. It's the same reason that casinos are light and bright and noisy all day long. And the huge disconnect that's being created is truly inefficient when it comes to trying to do your life and figure out what the best choices are for you.
That is a great analogy regarding casinos being bright and noisy, no clocks on the walls, as I haven't been to one in a while, but people lose time and they lose reality. And that's what's been going on, particularly of late, with a greater intensity, as Trump, who is frightened of not winning the 2020 election, he's trying to keep the stock market up. I've been watching things here for a couple of years, and I've never seen any president, try to influence the market the way Trump has. And yes, when we've had crisis and so forth, going back to FDR, the president's role is to be the one who says, okay, I'm not saying it's getting better tomorrow, but we're a great country, and hang in there. That's what a president's supposed to do. He's not supposed to say, oh, I don't know. I'm going to tell China I'll have a deal with them. Stock market goes up. Oh, I changed my mind. I don't like China. Stock market goes down. The free press is not using simple sentences to describe what President Trump is doing to try and keep everybody who has voted for him happy, particularly those whom he gave this straight tax cut to. You have to, as Jill has mentioned, we've talked about the technology, the saturation of news. Somehow, for your own peace of mind, you must get disciplined and look at things. Take just one news source, but don't just accept them that they know what the hell they're talking about. You figure out if they know what they're talking about. And you, when you come to that one news source, should be able to say, this is baloney, I need more information. This sounds kind of right, maybe I'll study it a little bit more. But having all these outlets bombarding you and not having the opportunity in your own best interest to sit back and say, is this true or false? Does this apply to me? Is this a con job? So that's where responsibility comes in.
It's interesting. I just think that literally 50% of the voters out there have no understanding and don't give a damn about stock market results. and I'm talking about millennials, and I'm talking about young kids coming out of college right now. I'm not going to say all of them, but a majority of them. They just I lived through two recessions in my life. So I know what recessions are. I've seen them come, and I've seen them go, and I've seen how they affect what we do. I saw how our fundraising was affected when we first started this radio station and had something all big planned, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose in the world, and those plans went up into thin air when the stock market crashed. I don't think people – what Donald Trump is doing is aimed to his 35% to 38%. And I just wish the media would get off it. And if they want to report about the stock market, then they should watch Bloomberg News and see how it's done.
They want to report about anything, they should. And I'm not, this isn't yay Bloomberg. It's just it wants a more measured, less reactive. But again, it is apparently impossible. I guess they have to make money. No one wants to be first and da-da-da-da-da. But basically, you've got a bunch of people running around reporting on what they're told to report. And that's just asinine.
Amen.
Excuse me.
And eyeballs.
Yeah.
I think Marshall said it well.
And I
would suggest that you use Bloomberg for your investment information, period. If you go to these other networks, business news is just part of their getting eyeballs. And frequently, they'll use it in a controversial way that doesn't teach you anything. It might scare you. It might distract you. It might make you feel good for a few minutes. So select Bloomberg as the place to go for your business. Then select one other. None of them are as obvious to me as one might think. But you go with the people who have good staffs, who generally seem to be reporting the truth, and then you use that old expression, trust but verify. Don't trust, in my opinion, nowadays, you never could, but more and more nowadays that politicians and foreign governments and others are using a form of communication, you can't go in trusting any of this stuff. If you're going to read something and you're coming away with a conclusion, check it out.
Okay.
And checking it out is not that hard. Now, on the stock market and on people and so forth, there was a report out on the Business Insider yesterday. We have had more big hitters, corporate executives, insiders, selling more stock 2006, 2007, or better said, in August of 2019, than we did in 2006 and 2007. I think you might remember the next thing that happened was 2008, which was a debacle in the stock market. This is an indicator. It's not perfect. It's not always accurate. But when it's outsized, it's pretty certain that the insiders, the corporate heads, and so forth, know something's going on that the rest of us probably don't know. And it's a sign of caution. Marshall was referring earlier to going through these recessions and so forth. I myself have been through a fair amount of terrible times in terms of markets. I can remember in 88, I think it was. Municipal bonds, would you believe, were down 10 points in a day. 10 points, high-quality municipal bonds. I can't give you all the specifics of it. I don't quite remember it. Then we had 2000, where the stock market went crazy with all of these technological issues. And then, bang, all one and two people got slaughtered. This is why, coming back to my original statement on the market, you must be conservative. Today is great. You always have to understand, somewhere down the line, it's going to get horrible. So you have to, at least for a while, you have to be prudent in your investment selection and in the amount of money you have in the market at any given time. And you also have to be willing to have the guts to make a mistake and get out of the market or get out of some of the market because it just seems intolerable. These are not easy things to do, But if you realize the idea is to make money, not, as many people do, play a scorecard, you're going to come out okay. I remember a guy, I shouldn't say this, but I will for Marshall's sake, back in the late 60s, he's passed now, but he bought a stock called Recognition Equipment. He bought it at 20. This is a professional now. He bought it at 20. The stock went to about 174. He didn't sell the damn thing. He sold it out at 11. He was so enamored, everything was going to be perfect. That was a professional person, and a good professional person. But he got enamored with his investment. You're buying these things to make money over a serious amount of time. You're not buying these things to be able to talk at a cocktail party.
All right. We're out of time, Jim.
Well, are we out of time? Are we out of cocktails?
We're out of cocktails and time.
Oh, God.
Don't you hate it when that happens? And hors d'oeuvres, worse.
Okay. Right. I love you all. You'll take care of yourselves.
Take care, Jim.
Get through this.
Yep.
America will always be the greatest. I'll talk to you.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.